What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
New year, new me? Cute. But how about new year, new money? With Experian, you can actually take control of your finances. Check your FICO score, find ways to save, and get matched with credit card offers, giving you time to power through those New Year's goals you know you're going to crush. Start the year off right. Download the Experian app. Based on FICO score 8 model. Offers and approval not guaranteed. Eligibility requirements and terms apply. Subject to credit check, which may impact your credit scores. Offers not available in all states. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we are joined by Jason Thibodeau of the How to Hunt Deer podcast that I am also on. And we're going to talk about what is in our whitetail packs. But before we get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, Jason, man, is it going to rain or not? I just feel like I'm sitting here whether I want to go put out trail cameras or go check some trail cameras that I have, but I don't want to get caught in rain and then have to sit in my truck. It needs to make up its mind.
Yeah. I keep looking at the forecast every day. Obviously, the closer we get to season, and I mean, we're roughly 2 weeks out, and they keep changing it every day. And right now, so I just looked a couple hours ago and it was like 20-30% Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And now I'm seeing like 50% Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I don't know, you know, but the temperature thing has kind of got me too, because we're not really getting anything much below 80 degrees for the next 2 weeks. Yeah. And we are extremely dry. So
yeah,
I think I'm starting to see a lot of guys getting in the fields. You know, some of the stuff, I mean, obviously grass, as far as like my end, mowing and stuff, has kind of come to a screeching halt. So if we don't get some moisture, it's going to change the beginning of the season for sure.
Yeah. And I'm sitting at a point where I want to go and put some trail cameras out, change some batteries, get some more information for youth season that's coming up. But I've kind of procrastinated to the point, and batteries have died at certain times where I don't know how far in the timber I want to go. No, I have trail cameras running on another farm that are telling me that, you know, things are kind of dead right now. Yeah. As far as movement, dude, I've had in this September shift all but one buck, and he's like a 2-year-old basket 8-pointer. They have all left.
Yeah, same here. My cameras for the last 2, maybe even 3 weeks have not shut off. I mean, because I'm still seeing the does and the fawns. But as far as bucks, I mean, I'm not even getting a little dinker walk by. I did have one, like you're saying, a basket rack. I think it was last night or night before. But there's nothing that's moving in front of these cameras. And so some of these cameras are on edges. Some of these cameras are over hub scrapes. And some of these cameras are near bedding areas of some sort. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, so we got youth season coming up this weekend. Like you said, it's going to be hot during the day. And so it's not going to cool down until like the sun goes behind the trees. And so I'm going to have to try to find a way to balance that, balance bugs, balance everything.
Yeah. And so you're probably at like that. It's dark at about 7:30 right now, dark to where you can't see. So, I mean, you're only looking at like maybe 5:30 to 7:30 you're hunting in the afternoon. Slip in maybe, you know, by 5 o'clock you're walking to your stand or something. Those last 2 hours, it's going to get a little bit cooler, but it's not even cooling down at 7:30 to where you got to put a sweatshirt on yet. So,
yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So we got that to balance. I got a dude hunting gear. All right. So I always take my arrows in to get built. All right. So I don't do them myself. I take them somewhere to do it just from a time standpoint. And maybe I can pass the accountability on to somebody else.
Right. Yep.
If it doesn't work. But I've never had an issue with these guys before, but the guy glues in my inserts, and I don't know if he did it wrong. I'm not 100% sure what the deal is, but of my 12 arrows, 7 of them, the inserts came off in the target when I was pulling the arrow out. So
was this with field points or broadheads?
Field points.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they did something wrong, and I took all my arrows back in. So now I'm shooting with just a handful of arrows that I have from last year. And I don't necessarily like tuning my bow to that, but I mean, it's going to be the same arrow weight, same setup. It's just one of those things where I'm like, now it's just like every year, it seems like it's another thing and another thing and another thing. But at the same time, it's my fault, right? I should have been doing it earlier.
Well, I could say the same thing. I went on my elk trip, you know, the 1st of September, and I was shooting arrows, and as luck would have it, you know, I screw on some broadheads and I stretch it back a little bit, and then there's some wind drift and I miss or whatever, and I break an arrow, and then I'm counting my arrows and I'm like, I have 7, I have 8, you know, do I need to order another dozen? What do I need to do here? So then I go back to my, you know, because I build my own arrows and everything, so I end up with a hodgepodge of arrows that, you know, two different arrows weigh the same weight. And then I have a third one that I know how it shoots. It's heavier, but I know where it shoots and hits. And so I go to Colorado with that, and there's this uncertainty with it too. Like, what if you lose an arrow? In which, matter of fact, I did. The first morning we went hunting, I'm coming through the oak brush and I lose an arrow out of my quiver. And I mean, you talk about a $30 screw up. It's like, gosh, dang it.
Yep. Oh, dude, I can remember one year. This was a long time ago. I had to hike through the middle of a cornfield. I had to hike through some tall grass, some real thick stuff to get to this little peninsula of, it wasn't swamp because it was dry, but there was a river on the opposite side of it. So I get in there and I set up my tree stand and I pull my bow off my backpack. I have one arrow. I lost 3 arrows on my hike in. I'm like, what the,
Yeah. That's about like getting to the tree and climbing up and then all of a sudden forgetting a bow hanger.
Yep.
You know, and then you're sitting there like, well, I guess I'm holding my bow the whole time, or, you know, you ad lib with something else, but there's so many things with gear. I mean, I guess we could just dive into it from there.
Yep, absolutely. Before we do, though, I got to send a huge shout out to the partners of the Hunting Gear Podcast. First and foremost, we have Reveal Trail Cameras. They have recently come out this past month with the new Ultra, the Reveal Ultra. Dude, the functionality, here's what I'll say about the Ultra. If you liked the 3.0 versions, right, the 3.0 Pro and the 3.0X, this one is just a step up from that. It's another step up. And Reveal, they're doing amazing things in the cellular trail camera world, are just a great company to work with from a customer service standpoint. You can have a call and talk to them. If you can't call, you can chat with them online if you're having a problem. But very rarely are you going to have a problem with the ease of use it takes to set their trail cameras up. You basically put batteries in the camera, you scan a QR code, you make sure that they connect to the app, and bingo bango, you have a functioning cell camera in a matter of minutes. So go to Tacticam Cameras and check out the new Ultra and the previous 3.0 versions of those cameras. Man, they're badass. Next on the list, we have Muddy DV8. Muddy has come out with a lineup of clothing designed for the whitetail hunter in mind. Basically, they have something called the Ambush series. They have the clutch pants. Some of this stuff is lightweight, some of it's midweight, and then some of it is heavier for the cooler temperatures. The good thing about this is it turns into a layering system. So you got the stuff you need for the cold temps, you got the stuff you need for the warm temps, and everything in between. And that's what really makes a good apparel brand, especially like hunting and camo, is the ability to layer due to temperature changes. Some days it's sunny. And we were talking about this, I think, on a conversation we had earlier this year, Jason, about thermal and how they work and how temperature works with, even when a cloud comes over, it can get cooled down dramatically. That cloud goes away, then you get hot. There's been a couple instances in my day where I can remember being cold when the clouds come over and then being too hot when the direct sun's hitting you. So it's important to have a layering system. They have that in the DV8 series. It comes in Bottomland. I don't know what it is, but that old school camo's coming back, man.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I think that the old school camo, the like army camo, those camos just go so good because they're simple.
Yeah. Yep. Keep it simple. Yeah. All right. So go visit gomuddy.com and check out their apparel and footwear section, and check out the new Muddy DV8 series. All right. Today's conversation, Jason, is going to be what is in our whitetail packs. All right. I did a series on what is in my mule deer pack when I go out west, and it might be a good idea to have you on the Western Rookie podcast, or maybe have you on again, because you just did an elk hunt. What was in your elk hunt pack? But today we're focusing on the old whitetail, right? And so there, for me, I'm just going to start it off by saying this. When it comes to what is in my whitetail pack or on my whitetail pack, I keep it extremely simple, right? It is because, and even when I hunt public land, I am not like, I don't take a ton of stuff in with me. I always have the ability to go back to my truck if I need to.
Yeah.
Right. So even though, and I'm thinking about one place that I go on public land close to my house, it's probably a half mile walk in to get to the spot. It's, I would say on an aggressive level, it's probably a 6 or 7. It's not crazy, right? I have to drop down and then I got to come up a ridge and then I drop down again. And then I'm in this like little creek bottom that opens up. And it turns into something really cool back there. But I'm still not taking a ton of gear with me on my whitetail hunts. What are your thoughts on that?
So obviously being a landscaper and stuff, I have to make sure that like all my tools are with me, because I've gotten to jobs that are a half hour, an hour away and not have it. So I'm actually probably the opposite of you, and I overpack. I overpack. Good. And the problem with overpacking is, though, is it gets heavy. You tend to sweat more, and a lot of times in your bag, it's too packed, you know, depending on the size of the bag that you want to carry. And I would say too, the other point of, it depends on if I'm going to like a permanent or a fixed stand, or if I'm actually mobile hunting, because that does change my setup a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And that's, yeah, you're 100% right on that. So let's break it down into like a run and gun, or actually let's start at with the basics. It's a tree stand that's already set up.
Okay.
And then we can add on to, when it's mobile, what else are we adding in? So go ahead, start us off. What is in your whitetail pack on a pre-hung tree stand?
Well, so on a pre-hung tree stand, I'm hoping that I have, you know, a hanger in the stand or two, you know, one for my pack, one for my bow. I hope that I have a bow rope, a hoist. I hope I have everything I need for my safety gear. So with that all assumed, and since I know how I am, I always have one of everything in my pack of those on hand, because I've gotten to a tree and not had a hanger, not had a bow hanger, not had a rope. So those things are definitely in my pack as backups. I also always carry a spare release, and I make sure that that release, when I shoot, hits the same at 20 yards for sure. And if it doesn't hit the same at 30 yards, then I don't use it beyond 20. At least it's a backup.
So you're saying your spare release is not the same. It might be a little different, and you feel that will actually cause you to shoot different?
Yes, it does. Yep. So, okay. So one of them I have is a tighter and smaller to my hand. It's a handheld release. And then another backup I have, it's a handheld release, but it's got a whole index spot, and the jaw length is different on it, so it hits different. And then I do have a wrist release in one of my packs as a backup, and that definitely hits different. So that's something to test, you know, as far as before season, to know exactly where you hit. Another thing that I always make sure I carry with me is either wind checker powder or milkweed. I always have that with me, because I check that as I'm walking in. I check that as the sun's coming up or before it's going down. I check it multiple times while I'm in the stand. Not necessarily in my pack, but I do have my bino harness and my rangefinder on my chest. I always wear that. And then in the pack, I always have gutting gloves. I always have a gutting knife. I always have that stuff with me, just depending on, you know, if I'm on private property, even I want to get to that animal and I want to be able to gut it out. And then sometimes my walk is a lot further, so it lightens the load as far as dragging the deer back. And then I'll have a water bottle, obviously, just to keep hydrated. But then I generally always, and not everybody's a fan of it or not, but I don't really care for, you know, peeing off the stand. So I always have like a big mouth, like, and I use it once and throw it away. Or, you know, twice at the most, and dump it out and throw it away at the end of each hunt. Just to keep my scent to a minimum, I'll carry nose jammer with me, put that on my boots as my walk in. I don't necessarily spray a ton of it on me per se, but the tips of my boots, the bottoms of my boots, just for my walk in. Another product I feel like is really good that I always keep in my pack is Evercalm. And Evercalm, I'll hit branches and little twigs and stuff along the way, but then when I get to my tree, I will hit the base of the tree, and then up by me, I'll hit Evercalm on the tree. And that just comes in a deodorant stick, and I just rub it on. And that generally, deer are at ease between Evercalm and nose jammer, and it helps a lot as far as, they might still smell you, but there's something that overtakes their nose. So those are two definite things. I carry a couple different grunt tubes with me, and the only reason I do is for during the rut, if I want to grunt a deeper sound or a different sound, no grunt tube sounds the same. So if I want to make it, it's normally on my quiver of my bow. Food, sometimes I'll bring, you know, granola bar depending on how long I'm sitting, or some sort of, you know, protein bar. I try not to, one thing that I've been conscious of is if I'm going to sit for longer than 2-3 hours, that I always make sure I got food to stay, you know, comfortable in the stand, so I'm not hungry and twitchy. But I always make sure that I unwrap the stuff and I put it in a quieter Ziploc bag, because a lot of the factory packaging is extremely loud in the stand. Or I simply just bring an apple, you know, because that's a smart choice for one, but two, it's also a quiet choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Outside of that, sometimes I'll bring a book. Sometimes I'll bring a notebook so I can take some notes, and my phone. And I try not to be on my phone too much, but I will look at mapping, and I will look at, maybe while I'm sitting there, like a list, a picture list of all these different deer that are in the area, just to kind of study up on things while I'm there. I may go back and look at history data that I've kept and stuff as far as time of year. But yeah, pretty much that's about really it. But like I said, I overpack, so I may have multiple of those things in there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great baseline. Trying to think, I'm mentally dumping my pack out right now. So whether it's in your pack or it's attached to your pack, you know, from the truck, I do the same thing. Nose jammer on the boots, actually. And it doesn't make sense, right? It just doesn't make sense why I do what I do. I'm not necessarily a huge believer in the sprays, like the scent elimination sprays.
Yep.
But what do? I will spray nose jammer all over my body and all over my gear, my pack. I'll soak my pack in it, my saddle, my boots, my pants. Then once I get to the tree, out of my pack, the first thing that comes out of my pack is my Ozonics. Uh-huh. So I always carry a hanger. You screw that into the tree first, and then you set your Ozonics on it. And from there, I don't know if anybody here, I mean, if you've listened to the Hunting Gear podcast from the beginning, you know what an Ozonics is. If you don't, an Ozonics is something that basically it emits ozone and it floats in the wind. And what ozone does is it attacks different molecules that have odor. It's an unstable element, ozone is. And that it will attach to something and distort its odor. Okay. So I like this because there's a science, it's science based, right? Certain products, I believe, are less science and more like, just trust us. We've been doing it for 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, that's not science. I can get behind this because it's science. And I've had, in the right scenarios, deer walk downwind to me and they put their nose up. They smell it because it definitely has an odor, but it's not like, one thing that we've talked about in the past is distance and odor and time. I believe that deer do a really good job of being able to assess threat by the potency of the scent threat, meaning they smell something. And they're like, well, okay, it's not a threat because it's a diluted scent, or they can tell distance and time by that threat as well.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we tell time by looking at a watch, and we use our eyes to say, like, if there was a grizzly bear 1,000 yards away, we would go, oh, that's not a threat because it's 1,000 yards away. I believe a deer can do that with their nose.
Absolutely. I think the same.
Yep. So Ozonics, I think, allows that deer to get tricked, their nose to get tricked, from a standpoint where it dilutes the scent of me to the point where if something does get downwind of me, it's like, okay, well, he's a long ways away. I'm not a big, you know, I'm not worried about it. He's a long ways away. In all actuality, I'm closer. So anyway, I keep an Ozonics. That's the first thing I hang up. Always keep extra screw-in hooks in my pack, just in case I drop one. And now I have a saddle that has pockets on each side of it. And I don't wear a safety harness anymore. I only wear a saddle as my safety harness now. Even when I'm going to a stand that is pre-hung, or a stand that is, whether it's pre-hung or I'm running gunning with another tree stand or maybe just my saddle platform, I have pockets on the side where I keep an extra rope in case I drop something, an extra lineman's rope. I keep an extra set of hooks in there. I have a in the back of my, or it's either, I either put it in the back of my pack or at the front of my pack, I will put a handsaw. And the reason I put a little pocket handsaw is if I climb up in a tree and I'm like, shit, I don't have a shooting lane here, I might be able to pull a branch closer to me, cut it up and make some, you know, some makeshift shooting lanes to where I'll have something to shoot through. I'll even do it on the ground. Right. I'll pull it out of my pack. I'm like, God, I need a lane right here. Get down out of the tree, walk 20, 30 yards, cut some branches, fold them over. And now I have a shooting lane.
Right.
So I'm always keeping a saw.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
I forgot. I do keep a saw in there too as well.
Yep. And it's the one I have is a Wicked Tree Gear. I used to work for that company a long time ago, and it's a really heavy duty saw. So yeah. I like that. Tree hooks, always extra tree hooks. I always keep an extra real, and the one that works the best for me is made by Realtree, or the Realtree name is on it. I don't know. It's probably manufactured in China somewhere, but the ability.
Easy Hanger?
It could be. Okay. It could be something like that. Yeah. But what I will say is there's one thing in this world, and I've said it 1,000 times, and I think you know where I'm going here. Yes. If I have trouble screwing a hook that is designed to be hooked, like screwed into a tree, if I have to stab that son of a bitch into a tree like 80 times to try to get it set to screw in and I can't do it. And it really, the difference maker is hardwoods.
Yes.
Right. Like any type of real hardwood tree, it's difficult. Right. And then I get frustrated. So I'm going to spend extra money on a screw in hook or steps or bow hanger that is sharp, basically.
I will say there is a company that I found that I actually really like their design and stuff, and it's Hawk. Hawk makes some pretty good sharp stuff, so I use them for my bow hangers and bag gear and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I like that. I'm going to have to write that down because I'm always looking for one. I believe there's a company called Gorilla that makes accessories too. I've found that the ones that they make are pretty good. For the most part, that shouldn't be an issue. If you design a hook to be placed in a tree, it should be able to screw in a tree, dude. I'm like, isn't that right? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. And I've had them. I mean, this is what guys have to pay attention to also, because, you know, you struggle, and then you finally get it to go. And then the thing goes in there, and then you hang your bow up there. And then pretty soon you see this thing just creeping down, like it's too heavy for it and stuff. So you have to pay attention to that. And that's all I'll say, another plug, shameless plug to Hawk, even though there's no connection there, is they have on the bottom of their bow hangers, it's like a lever that comes down and goes against the base of against the tree. So it keeps it from folding down. So,
yep. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. It's the simple design things that matter.
Yep.
So saw, hooks, in my saddle, I told you I keep the extra hooks, I keep the rope. So I'm taking a saddle with me every time, and I'm wearing it in every time, okay? Outside of that, in my pack is always different layers. Now, this weekend, I probably don't have to worry about that too much. I'm going to be wearing a long sleeve shirt with some pants and my blazing orange, obviously, but I'm not necessarily going to need a ton of layers. When that, in 30, 40 days from now, when we're getting into early November, there is temperature swings throughout the day. There are times when it's going to be extremely cold, and I always like to walk in light, undressed, basically just my base layer. And then after my base layer, then right into start to layer up after I start to cool down in the tree. And I keep all my extra layers in the pack. I have a couple like insulation layers that I get that fold down real tight. They're all synthetic or down that just kind of pack down real tight. Those go in my pack. My bigger jackets and coats get strapped to the outside of the pack.
One thing I was thinking of, because I guess I didn't put into the factor the time of the year, but those Arctic Shield boot covers.
Bingo.
I mean, that's a game changer as far as sitting there and your toes freezing or not. Strap those to your pack and you're going to be comfortable.
Yep. So that's the thing, dude. I'll walk in, I'll start to get hot. And then I don't like to get, the first thing I put on are the boot covers, and then I'll start to cover up, because I don't wear insulated boots anymore into the woods or big rubber boots. I will let the sock be the insulation layer. The boot, do the boot hiking and stuff like that. And because I just hate slipping around on a bare rubber boots, man.
Yeah.
Then I'll throw the boot covers over top of that. And then you don't get cold, dude.
Yeah.
You don't get cold. And if it's really cold, I'll take some hand heaters.
Yep.
Those hot hands or hot feet. Sometimes they have adhesives on them, and then you can get into the boot and put it on the top, and then it's just... But you do have to worry, though, about that. The cover is awesome, but it traps moisture as well. So every once in a while, I'll unzip my boot and I'll let the air kind of come out of it or circulate through it to get it, because that it holds the moisture.
Yeah.
And so then I zip it back up and then I'll go again.
Yeah. And so, I mean, as far as like layering for cold, you know, cold weather and stuff, if we want to go into that, like my sock layering system is pretty huge as far as, cause I'll hunt a lot in the wintertime. And so it's simple, like you're saying, but I'll wear like a darn tough sock and then I'll put the adhesive on my toes. Cause my toes is the first thing that gets cold. I don't wear the full foot, you know, adhesive one. And then I'll carry a wool sock almost in my backpack. And then as it starts to cool down, I'll slip my boot off. I'll put the wool sock over the adhesive, over the darn tough, put the boot back on, and then I'll put the Arctic Shield back on. And between those things, like you're saying, I don't wear rubber boots. I don't wear, you know, 1200 gram thinsulate or anything anymore. I just wear simple, breathable boot, basically.
Yeah. The only time I'm wearing a rubber boot is, and I have a pair of Alpha Burley Pros from Lacrosse, and they are great for basically wet weather. Right. Also, I believe I have a pair of muck boots downstairs that I'll throw on. They're lighter, but in cooler weather or in wet weather. But outside of that, I'm not wearing a rubber boot anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. So talked about the Ozonix, talked about the boot covers. Always carrying a knife with me. And I don't know what you carry, but I carry a replaceable blade. God dang it.
Outdoor Edge.
Outdoor Edge. Yep, that's the one. Outdoor Edge, replaceable blade knife, comes with a bone saw, kind of, it's a kit. I forget the name of it, but it kind of opens up. The kit opens up. It has a little section for your knife, a section for your replaceable blades, a section for a mini bone saw, and then that's it. And then it folds back up. That goes in my pack, and that's my knife. And I can get through in... As far as my knife is concerned, me and another guy, so I shot my mule deer this past year with a guy, and we did the whole deer, right? Caped it out. We deboned it out in the prairie and packed it in with bags, out with game bags. In Iowa, you have to take the whole animal out of the woods.
Right.
You cannot debone in the field. You have to take the whole animal out. And then do whatever it is. Basically, you're transporting a carcass somewhere. We have something where on our main farm, we have something called Death Valley, where after we take the meat off the turkeys, after like 100,000 years from now, they're going to excavate and find all these animal remains you know, like 30 years of getting tossed in there. I know other guys toss their deer because it's just a huge drop off. It's like the train station in Yellowstone.
Yeah.
There might even be some human bones in there. I don't know.
Yeah. You might be surprised.
Yep. So we got through, and I didn't need to replace the blade, but I did anyway because I just wanted to take the easy way out. But we got through a mule deer in 4 blades. So he used 2 blades. I used 2 blades, taking it all the meat off the bones in the field, gutless method. And dude, like, that did it. I think I could have got away on a mule deer with 1 blade, though, if I really pushed it.
Yeah, I think those blades are really sharp, and I think they hold their sharpness for like a solar phone or something, you know, or an extension for your battery life. And then one thing I found handy as I've gone out west is, when we're talking about knives, is a Leatherman that, you know, basically is a multi-tool, and they are super handy. And I found them even handy for whitetail hunting now. Like, they have a pair of pliers on them or something. You can tighten something if you need to. You got a pair of side cutters if you brought wire with to attach something or rope or whatever. So those things don't, I guess I forgot about them, but I would add those in.
Yep. And that, I keep that in my truck.
Yeah.
Right. So when I'm doing the whitetail thing here, there's a lot of times where, based off of the properties, the two properties that I hunt the most of, my public land spots are harder to pull deer out of, obviously. There's no roads that kind of go to the back of where I hunt, but my other properties where It's just, you shoot a deer, you drag it 50 to 100 yards, and then you have another buddy and it drag it into the back of your truck, right? And
yeah.
You take off.
Yep, or you pull the truck right up.
Or you have a side-by-side or ATV or whatever the case is. Yes, headlamp is a must, right? And I don't know, about you, but I used to be that guy who was really freaked out about shining light into the woods. It's one thing I don't even think about anymore. As I'm walking in or riding my e-bike in, I'm flashing a light. They think it's a car or a deer or a car or a truck or something in the distance. I'm not as worried about my lighting as I used to be.
I'm still trying
not to make the noise, but
the thing of it is, for years I've always done the red or the green light as I walk in, and when you go out west and you don't know the terrain, you start to use just a white light just so you can see. And really, I don't think there's a huge difference in it because they already hear you, so they're going to associate the noise with the light, no matter if it's red, green, or white. So that's just maybe something that I'm going to dabble with a little bit this year. If there's deer on a field, it doesn't matter what kind of light you got. They're going to hear you, smell you, see you, whatever.
Okay. In my pack, a grunt tube, right? I've told this story 1,000 times. I'll tell it one more time. I went to a Gander Mountain one day, and I had this it was 12 years. I had this grunt tube. It was a black grunt tube, and I lost it walking into the timber or walking out someday. I can't really remember. I think I might have been walking out. It was on a rope that I hung around my neck, and I was crossing a fence, and it pulled, and I wasn't thinking about it. And I think it came off there or bounced around in that area. And I went back to the same stand the next morning, or I don't remember, but I couldn't find it. I'm not sure what happened. I couldn't find it. It was the best grunt tube I've ever had. And so I went into a Gander Mountain, and I go, I need a new grunt tube. And so I started blowing them, opening all the packages up and blowing them. Some high school kid or college kid that was like, this is stupid. He's like, you can't open all those packages. And I looked at him and I said something stupid like, this is my life, right? And so, dude, I'm extremely anal about my grunt tubes. And the grunt tube, the market, dude, I just don't feel like it reflects an actual sound of a whitetail. A lot of them don't. So a lot of them you'll hear almost like a kazoo, like a... That may sound like a fawn or a doe, but I didn't want that. I want a buck. So I opened up probably 10 grunt calls and was blowing in them. And then he walked over and he told somebody who looked back at me. And I didn't say anything. I just kind of stared at him a little bit. And then the guy looked at, I think he understood what I was trying to do. And he's just shaking that young kid off. Just let him be, dude. Just let him do it.
Yep. Yep.
And so I went through a lot of grunt tubes and I landed on the bone collector. There's a bone collector one.
Okay.
It looks like an antler on one end and then a black tube on the other. And it has the deepness that I'm looking for, you can growl with it. You can do for me, it's the one rap,
right.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And
so
turning. Come in, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's why I said, I keep two of them in my pack, because one of them has actually got the elastic thing so you can put it around your arm. And I've had that real handy as far as how close the deer is, and I can just reach over and give it a one grunt. The other one, so years ago, it was Hunter Specialties used to make an all black one, and that sounded perfect as far as I'm concerned. But now it's the one I have outside of that is dual game calls. And I actually like the way it sounds. And the one I've got's got an adjustable reed on it so I can use it for a doe, but it's got that deep, beller to it that a buck would have. And, as far as that goes, I've heard buck roars and everything like that, but a big dominant buck, I mean, you're just going to get one simple grunt, two simple grunts. You're not going to get, that big vocalization that you might out of some of these, you're saying, with the fawn. So it is a big factor as far as picking out a grunt tube, to me anyways.
100%. Okay. Grunt call, antlers. youth season, my first couple, you know, like if I'm going out and trying to fill the freezer on a doe, I'm not carrying horns with me until late October. I am always calling based off of the body language of the deer. I typically don't blind rattle too terribly much. I still do it every once in a while, like on those perfect crisp mornings.
Yep.
Right. You know the ones I'm talking about. Those are always strapped to my bags. I don't like rattling packs. I used to have those, which is basically just a whole bunch of dowels, wooden dowels in a bag that you're, I like real antlers. I like to smell them when you're going hard, right? You're going hard on them.
Yep.
And then you can smell that they've been worked. So I always keep rattling antlers strapped, and then I hang them off of a bow hook or hang them off of a hook that I've screwed in.
A couple things with that real quick. So if you're using real antlers, I would suggest cutting off the brow tines, and then I would attach them with some sort of paracord or drill a hole through them and attach them with rope, because you will drop them. That is a fact. And if you're rattling and then all of a sudden a deer comes in, you got to be able to hang them up quick or something. So
yeah,
I do use both. I use the black rack, the original black rack where they're mimicking two racks. I carry that just for simplicity. There is a synthetic sound to it that you can hear, and there's like a core sound difference. So the one thing that I will say is there's nothing that sounds better than a fresh set of sheds from that year, because over time, bone density,
they dry out.
So something to keep in mind, if you really want the authentic sound, go with the real ones.
Can I be honest with you a little bit?
Yeah, you can be honest.
I kind of want to make fun of you for using a black rack.
do you know what the funny part of it is? Is like, it works. And you know, like those bags that have the wooden dowel rods on them, I mean, they work.
They work too.
Yep. It is all temperament and what you're calling to, but there is nothing better than that sound of real antlers. Like I said, especially fresh set of sheds. I just have a hard time, like, I found these sheds this year. It's a match set, and then I'm going to cut the brows off of it, and then here I go. But I probably should, because I've got some decent ones that would really sound awesome. But
yeah, yep. And this is, again, all this conversation goes to what you feel comfortable with, right? And so real quick, like, just the rest of the stuff that I keep in my pack, I don't carry another release with me, just because I keep that in my truck. If I drop it on the way to the stand, that sucks. Don't know why I don't carry two release. I do when I go out west, but not when I'm out in the whitetail woods. And then the other one is Nalgene bottle of water. I do not bring another bottle to pee into a bottle. I pee right off the stand. Hell, I'll poop off the stand if I have to.
Yeah. So there you go. Toilet paper or some shop towels or something in your pack.
Yep. Yep. Some dude wipes.
Dude wipes. Yeah.
Dude wipes. And then snacks. And so this is going to, I don't want to sound like a health nut here, because I am definitely not a health nut. But in the timber, if I eat before I hunt, I will crash and I will start to get tired. Or so like in the mornings, I don't tend to drink a lot of caffeine or coffee during the hunting season, because I don't want to have to take a dump in the woods.
Yeah.
also sugary foods, right? Yeah. So a lot of times back in the day, I would eat like a sugary snack, and that would get me energized. But then I would go and calm down in the stand and sit in the stand. And then what happens is you have a sugar crash. And then you're just like, then you start to doze off and fall asleep and all that stuff. I have learned to bring one apple or a bag of baby carrots. Those, and it's really not to satisfy an urge to a hunger urge. It's almost like there's times where people eat because they're bored, where they eat. Whatever. That's why I'm fat, to be honest with you, is because I am eating because I'm bored, or it, like routine, whatever. Yeah. And so I bring something extremely low calorie to munch on in the stand. And that's it. I bring an apple, eat it, eat some carrots, eat it. And then at least I am not going to have a gigantic sugar crash and get tired. And that's just me and my body. So some healthy snacks and some water. And really that for me rounds out what is headlamp. I don't bring an extra flashlight, because if, let's say, something's wrong with my headlamp, I always have my cell phone in my bino pack. And because of that, I have a light on my cell phone just in case I need it.
Right.
Yep, 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 yep. That's it. Anything else that you keep in your pack?
Not in that pack. Just real quick, if I'm going to run and gun out of my saddle.
Run and gun.
Yeah, so my run and gun setup's pretty simple. I got a tethered saddle that has the pouches on the side. I have a tethered angled platform, which I got the carrying back for it, or the pack for it. And then I attach my sticks to that pack. And then basically everything else fits in my sides. So that run and gun setup, I'm really excited to use this year because I think I can attach a lot of different things to my waist or to that pack and not really even have to take a backpack. Yeah. Worst case scenario, maybe possibly looking at like some sort of fanny pack if I need like an old water bottle inside of that or something. But otherwise, yeah. I'm just going to attach everything to me. So.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Cool. My run and guns, you know, obviously it's not in my pack, but it's on my pack, is a stand or a platform of some sort, depending on what I do. What else? I always carry my bow holder, and then I will put my Lone Wolf sticks in the bow holder or whatever set of sticks. They fit perfectly for that. And then I'll strap it up, and then I can throw my sticks over my shoulder in a bow holder.
Yep.
Okay. That's a pretty sweet thing to do. That way, when you get to the tree that you want to set up in, you don't have to take your pack off.
Right.
Until you get to the point where you can slide your stand off the back of your pack. And then the only time you really have.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
To take your pack off is when you're up in the stand getting ready to hang it up.
Yep, I agree.
But outside of that, nothing really changes. I have the hooks. I have all that stuff is in my saddle pouches. And that way I don't have to get into my pack until it's time to hang it up. So my run and gun and my tree stand stuff are pretty similar. It's just the only thing that's coming in with me is a set of sticks and a platform, or either a saddle platform or a tree stand.
Yeah. Yeah. My run and gun's real simple, and I'm kind of actually excited to use it because I think it's actually going to weigh less than what my permanent backpack does. So
yeah.
Looking forward to that. I'm going to touch base on one thing real quick. I don't use an Ozonix anymore in the tree, but I do use ozone in my totes and in my vehicle to eliminate the scent there. I used to use a lot of scent away or scent killer sprays and stuff, and I've kind of gotten away from that. And I feel that more ozone on my materials is probably better, and then leave it unprotected after that.
Right. I think that brings us to an end of what's in our whitetail pack for the 2025 season. I wish everybody who's listening to this big, big luck this upcoming season. Have your gear ready, right? I used to be that guy who I'd never prepared the night before. I never prepared for the afternoon hunt. So I would go, I'd take a nap, and then all of a sudden I'm just like, oh shit, I am way behind. And then you're getting into the timber late, all of that stuff. Keep that in mind. Other than that, good vibes, everybody. Go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review for the Hunting Gear Podcast. That would mean a lot to us over here on the Sportsman's Empire. That's it. Huge shout out to our partners, Reveal and Muddy DV8. Jason. Good luck this upcoming season, man.
Yeah, good luck, everybody. We're less than 2 weeks from October openers, so be safe.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365 Copilot.
Tires matter. They're the only part of your vehicle that touches the road. Tread confidently with new tires from Tire Rack. Whether you're looking for expert recommendations or know exactly what you want, Tire Rack makes it easy. Fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, and convenient installation options. Go to TireRack.com to see tire test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the special offers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. And this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.